dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers.
I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source codes, ISOs, RANs, SIPs, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
We are finally back with an episode of Binary Revolution Radio with you this week for episode 194. I am Stank Dog. And you are listening to this on May 15th, 2007. Once again, episode 194. And to jump right into the show, first thing this week, I'll go ahead and introduce my co-host for this week. Some of you may recognize the voice because he actually hosted the show last week. Faceman is on the show with us this week. Welcome to you.
Hello, Stank Dog and everyone else.
And we have a topic that we're going to cover later today that I've been kind of putting off and putting off and putting off for a long time on the show because it's just one of those topics that could go on and on forever. Kind of like me, when I start talking, I can go on and on forever, but we think we've got it nailed down to some bullet points, some topics that we can cover on the show and still do it justice. So let's go ahead and do some housekeeping before we get into too much of that and then reveal the topic later. I have a couple things to talk about in housekeeping. One of them, let's see, we have some updates to Bell's Mind that I wanted to mention on the air. Some people who use Bell's Mind regularly, of course, bellsmind.net. If you're using it regularly, you might have noticed that there's a few new features that have popped up here and there, and if not, you might want to go check them out. Go over to the NPA NXX lookup. You'll see a few extra tabs on there. Those of you who may have some accounts on Bell's Mind, if you log in, you might find some other cool things and a big mysterious circle at the bottom. Anyway, I'm not going to go into too much details. Pretty much the new features there are self-explanatory, but there's also some features on there that may help in some future projects. So we'll talk about that more when the time comes. And the only other thing I wanted to mention is we spent some time recently creating a new group in the forums. Actually, I got two. I have one thing that's not on the notes here, Faceman, I'm going to throw in here. One thing, though, is we added a new group in the forums called Agents of the Revolution, which is a new group that we've given some more access, some more benefits and features in the forums, and we've moved people in there who are long-term, and not necessarily long-term, but people who are productive members of the forums, who post on-topic, intelligent posts in the forum and articles and replies to people that are helpful, that get what it's all about, that people that stay out of the drama, stay out of the off-topic forums. People are actually producing content, I guess, is the way what it always comes down to. People are actually trying to help and who get what it's all about. So those people, we're moving them over time, and this is an ongoing thing. We're moving them into a new group called Agents of the Revolution. And what that is we have a special forum where the only people in that group have access, where we can talk about things that maybe we don't want the Google Spider to pick up yet, so we put it in kind of a special forum that only we have access to. We talk about a few things that we may not want the forums at large to know about yet. Maybe we want to discuss maybe even things related to the forums, as well as just some information that we might not necessarily want to share with everyone, because, well, when you post certain things out there, they have a tendency to get abused and destroyed quickly, so we want to try to keep that within a certain circle of trust, if you will. So, how do you get to become an agent of the revolution? Well, like I said earlier, post on topic and intelligently, you know, act like you've got some sense in the forums, which is seems to be pretty rare these days. We won't go into dropping names or anything, but basically don't post horror, stay on topic, and be helpful to the community, and you will certainly, most certainly be added to the group. Unless you absolutely don't want to, which is, you know, I guess entirely possible. Another thing, too, and I kind of mentioned I might want to add this in there, Faceman, is that, I don't know, the forums the last couple of weeks, at least for me personally, as many of the listeners may know, I don't, unfortunately, have as much time as I used to go in and read everything in the forums. But there are certain, if something catches my eye, it means it's pretty doggone extreme because I can't see everything that's going on. So when I see something that's annoying the hell out of me in the forums, that means it's probably annoying the hell out of a lot of other people. So I just wanted to make note that we have acknowledged that we have some problem children in the forums, for lack of a better word. And once again, we won't drop any names, but people who do nothing but post the just inane topics, and some of which don't make sense, some of which they simply are too lazy to Google. And Faceman, you know what I'm talking about here, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And it wouldn't be that hard to figure out who you're talking about either.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to throw any names out there because I think people know. And I just want to acknowledge that we acknowledge the situation, and it's gotten a little annoying even for me. So we're working on a solution to that, trying to come up with the best way to handle those people. You know, one of the things about BenRev and part of the revolution is we want to be open. And we want people to feel welcome. We want people to come in and be able to learn and be able to interact with people and learn from people and learn from each other. But you've got to try. And there's been a lot of people in the past that have come in and started off, quite frankly, as not the best members, not the best hackers or anything, but over time did actually learn. They may have started off and made some mistakes or I don't know, some noob comments, for lack of a better word. I hate throwing that around, but people who have come in and didn't know any better. But because we were accessible and because we're friendly and we're helpful and because we have the newbie HQ, they did actually learn and they did improve. I think right now we're just on a little bit of a bad streak where people just don't seem to care to listen or learn or want to improve themselves anymore. So at some point you have to, and I hate saying this, but you just have to cut your losses with certain people and move on, because they're detracting from everyone else's experience of the forums. So there's been some discussion of that in the moderating team and even the agents of the revolution. We've talked about that, of how we're going to handle it. And sometimes the banhammer swings low. That's all I can say. So if you're in that category, you might want to step it up real fast. And if you're worried that you might be in that category, you probably want to step it up as well. So just throw that out there. I don't know, Faceman, am I being a little harsh there? I'm trying to be polite. I don't know if it's coming across that way.
No, I think it's about time.
Yeah, I mean, we try to be... opinion. You know, it's hard. You want to be... I'm getting it from both ends because... I'm just going to call them clubies. I mean, the clubies, the clueless newbies that come in are annoying on one hand. And I'm getting attitude and stuff from them. But also, on the opposite hand, I'm getting attitude and anger from the other members of the forum who are pissed off because of all the drama and all the stupidity that's going on. And it's easy to say, just ignore it and read the rest of the forums, but it's just, there's too many of them right now, so we're probably going to be doing a little house cleaning.
Now, I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that summer is just starting.
You know,
you give people time.
I honestly think you're right, because we went through this a little bit last year about this time, and I think it really is some summer stuff. I don't want to say that all people of a certain age or anything, but certainly it seems like a higher percentage come in the summer. So take that statistic for whatever it's worth. We'll leave it at that.
Well, not everybody can be as old as you.
Yeah, well, not many people live to be as old as I am, but... I'm not that old. Jeez, you make me sound like a complete dinosaur. Just because I remember punch cards doesn't mean I'm obsolete yet. Doesn't mean I still use punch cards. Although I could. Anyway, I guess that would be... Do you have anything you want to talk about in housekeeping?
No, I'm good.
I think the only we did put up episode 193 on the podcast and everything, right? So we're good there.
Yep.
All right. So why don't we take some email? And when I say some email, I guess I should have said one email, because we only have one email to talk about this week. And Faceman, this may be for you. I'm not sure. Let me just read it and we'll figure it out. This email comes from Fireworm. Fireworm, W-Y-R-M, as in the dragon. On your last show, you guys talked about the guy who hacked the New York Times and made over 3,000 searches. Well, okay. He says NYT. I assume that's New York Times. And made over 3,000 searches. His name was Adrian Lamo. I just thought I'd let you know, since you guys couldn't remember. Anyway, thanks for the show. I try to listen as much as I can. Keep it up. So thank you, Fireworm, for the email. And I'm going to kick it right over to you, Faceman. Did you guys talk about New York Times at all? Or somebody searching anything 3,000? Did that...
What was I have no idea what he's talking about.
Well, I sure as hell don't.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Listen, it's
too deep. He was listening to another show.
Okay, to apply some social engineering here, which is what our main topic's going to be, it's too detailed for him to have made that up. He heard somebody say something about searching over 3,000 times. So he heard he heard it somewhere. But you know what? Maybe, well, he even says on your last show, I was going to say maybe he's listening to an old episode from the archive or something, but he says on the last show, maybe one of the other guys threw it out there or something, I don't know, but... I'm sure Adrian Lamo was not the only person who hacked the New York Times, but he was the one of the most well-known, I guess, the homeless hacker, as he is commonly referred to. And that's been quite a while ago. That's been a few years ago.
You mentioned the homeless hacker on the Java episode.
Did I?
You did.
See, I'm gonna file that under early senility. Then I guess I'm going senile in my old age. I don't remember, but I don't think I've ever struggled to remember Adrian Lamo's name, but I guess I did. Well, there we go. We have it straightened up. Adrian Lamo searching 3,000 times. I really do not remember the context, but Fireworm, thank you for calling in to correct us of that. I appreciate the email. Now, we have got a main topic that we want to make sure we do justice, and as I said a second ago, it is social engineering. Now, that is just a really, really, really big... a big target, I guess, to try to cover everything. And Faceman and I talked through this a little bit, and we've come up with, I think, a good structured way to talk about it. We're certainly not, and let me preface the whole thing, we're certainly not going to be able to cover everything. There's no way we're going to be able to cover everything. There's enough information on this topic to write multiple books on the topic. So, don't... The other thing is, there's no definition for this. This is the other thing. It's a very intangible term, to believe it or not. Social engineering doesn't really have... It has, a definition, but it's not like a set list of things that you can go down a list of bullet points. You know, normally when we do topics on the show, it's very technical, and we can take you step by step through some things and explain exactly how a system works, because it is sequential in nature. It does have steps to it. Social engineering is not like that. It's very just completely arbitrary, random. It's different every time. And
it's a shapeless void.
Yeah, it's a shapeless void. That sounds very Star Trek-y. It is a shapeless void of techniques, of different situations, goals, all kinds of things rolled into one. And the part of being a good social engineer is being able to navigate through that shapeless void. Now, so you see how I took your shapeless void and kind of worked that all into the thing on the fly like that? See? That's social.
Perfect example.
That is social engineering applied right there. You have to be able to adapt and flow with whatever happens in front of you. So, I guess let's start off a little bit, because, well, actually, let me say this. The reason that I specifically wanted to do the show with Faceman, I really wanted to do the show with you because Faceman had sent me some show notes of the topic of the idea, and there was one line in those notes that just caught my attention that is something that I have, is my, basically my pet peeve about this subject, is that certain people have this mindset that social engineering means lying to people on the phone. I mean, really, there are a lot of really, I don't know, very well-known people who claim to be great social engineers. Who
I'm an
think,
expert social engineer, for the record.
What's that?
I'm an expert social engineer, for the record.
Of course you are. Of course, that's a joke because, as we were saying before we started recording, anybody who claims to be an expert social engineer is not an expert social engineer. They're not. I mean, you may think you are and you may want to be, but most people that say that's because they have in their mind that social engineering means lying to somebody on the phone. So if you can call up the operator and lie to her and say, oh, I'm technician number 617-412-32B, can you transfer me? That's one, I mean, I guess you'd have to classify that as one part of social engineering. You are manipulating the system. You are using knowledge to circumvent a human system. So that is a small part. But too many people believe that's it. They believe that it's about knowing a certain buzzword to drop on an operator. Oh, yeah, give me trunk tandem, blah, blah, alpha, bravo, whatever the fuck. Drop a certain word to somebody or know the right number to call, or the right code to drop or something like that, and that's social engineering. Well, no, that's research. That's researching and learning how a system works and then applying said research and using some social engineering techniques to do it. But social engineering to me, and Faceman, I don't know, I'm going to drop this as a global statement and see what you think, but social engineering to me is altering, affecting, manipulating any interaction with any other person. Not sure how you feel about that.
Well,
one, but it's not just on the phone is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
There are multiple places and forms, and I think we're going to talk about that. There are many, many different goals. It doesn't necessarily mean you're lying to someone to get information or to trick them into doing something. And there are many different techniques that can be applied that, once again, have nothing to do with lying, that have to do with, usually, 99% of the time, getting information or getting yourself out of a situation. It may not have to do with information at all. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to go with me on that tangent, but sometimes a lot of social engineering, for example, you can social engineer yourself, if I could speak, let me see if I can social engineer my way through this episode. Social engineer yourself out of a speeding ticket, for example.
Yes.
You know, see what I'm saying? You can get yourself into or out of a situation. Social engineer yourself into the VIP area at the club. Social engineer yourself an upgrade to first class on the airplane, something that I'm very common, very good with. Things like that are also part of social engineering to me.
Okay, well, let me throw out this possible definition.
Sure.
Anytime you are more knowledgeable of the conversation on purpose than the other person.
To a certain extent, I agree with that. It's not always more knowledgeable, but you may know one thing that they don't.
Yes.
You may not be more knowledgeable in general, but if you know something that they don't know, and truthfully, that's not all of the time either. Sometimes they can know everything. You just use a little wordplay and a little trickery to make them still give up that information or do what you want them to do. You know,
even if you're going to trick someone, then you kind of pay attention to the conversation a little bit more and, in essence, know more.
Yeah, and that's one good key point to say right now. One of the most important things is paying attention.
Yeah.
One thing I like to say to people is that every word has meaning. Every single word in a conversation has meaning. And I know that sounds kind of strange or kind of silly, or even when you're writing. I choose the words that I write and that I say very carefully. And maybe now that I'm revealing this on the air, people might actually hear me pause sometimes before I speak or hear me think or take that little hesitation before I say what's on my mind. It's even easier and better when you're typing something up in the forums, how I word things in the forums. There's a lot of subliminal, not subliminal messages, but there's a lot of subliminal things that are inferred by using a certain set of words and by the way you phrase things. Let me give a simple example. One simple example would be, oh, my boss is such an ass, or something like that. As opposed to somebody saying, my boss is such a bitch. Now, those two sentences are basically saying the same thing, but you can infer a little bit of extra information just by paying attention and listening to what they're inferring, what that subliminal message is behind there, what that unspoken pronoun that exists in that sentence. And social engineering is picking up on those type of things and realizing that the first example had a male boss and the second example had a female boss. In most circumstances, probably we could go into a gray area that falls through with that. None of these rules are hard and fast. Oh, that's probably a bad choice of words. No, none of these rules are set in stone, we'll say. But majority of the times, you can infer a lot of information like that.
I would agree.
Well,
I concur.
And we will continue. And you know what? And actually, you're being silly, but truthfully, right there, what you just said, you can infer two different things from those statements that you said. I agree and I concur. What kind of person says I concur? If you ever hear somebody say I concur, that says volumes about that person. You know, it says that they have a vocabulary, you know, as opposed to somebody who just says I agree. That may not mean anything. I say I agree all the time. But if I was in a certain scenario with certain people, I might choose to say I concur because it sends a different message. It shows a different part of me. It makes people think something differently when they hear me say that. And therefore, they will react and treat me different and speak to me differently because of that. So choice of every word is important. Even something as off the cuff as I agree. So that was a good example.
Along with I concur or I agree, depending on the tone of voice that it was said with, it could also mean that professionally you have to agree, but you don't really want it to go with that particular way.
Yeah, there's a, you know, and we probably, we're going to come back to some tips that are more along those lines towards, I think, the end of this topic. So why don't we, I guess as we start to delve in here, the other thing I wanted to talk about up front is that a lot of people seem to think that they are these great social engineering experts, et cetera, I talked about before. Actually, I'm not going to say any names, but I just got to tell you, I've got people in mind, a couple of people that just bug the hell out of me. I hate people that come up to me and they claim that they're a hacker and they're an expert at social engineering. First of all, if you think you're an expert at social engineering, you're probably not, like I said earlier. Secondly, using my social engineering skills and reading between the lines there, what you're really telling me is you're a hacker who doesn't know how to hack. So you're going to fall under the social engineering. You don't know anything technically, apparently, or you're not strong enough technically, so you're going to brag about your social engineering skills because you have that mindset of lying on the phone, traditional, you know, simplistic mentality, that's all there is to social engineering, and you think you can fit in by putting yourself in this niche. Some people are experts at Java. Some people are experts at penetration testing. Some people are experts at stack smashing. Whatever your expertise or area of interest is, you think that you're going to fill a little niche by saying that you're a social engineer. Well, nobody specializes. I mean, some people may be good at social engineering, but that doesn't make you a hacker necessarily that you can lie on the phone. So it's kind of a pet peeve of mine, people that claim that they're social engineering experts. However, somewhat related to that point, I want to make it very clear, and again, Faceman, I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but social engineering is definitely something that some people have a gift, some people are good at it naturally, you just have the gift of gab, you can just talk and manipulate people just in the way you choose your language. Maybe it's an experience thing, maybe it really is just an innate gift that some people have. But that being said, I do believe, And Face Man, whatever you think here, I do believe that social engineering is something that can be taught and can be learned. I think there are absolutely techniques that anybody listening right now can pick up on and become a better social engineer, even by the end of this show.
Yes, I would agree with that as well.
It may not, you know, it might help if you do have that gift of gab, so to speak, that you can be quick, off the cuff, you know, impromptu, improvisation, whatever, all these things that you want to throw, all these terms you want to throw around that mean the same thing. If you're quick-witted and quick off your feet and can recover and catch anything that's thrown at you, then you might be better at it. But there are definitely techniques that anybody and everybody can learn, and we're going to talk about some of them now, actually, that will make you accomplish things that you never really thought about or realized before through social engineering. So, in that mindset, let's kind of move on now. And Face Man, I'm going to get a drink here, and I'm going to let you talk about some of the different forms of social engineering. We've kind of alluded to them earlier, but different forms or mediums or, I don't know, places or types. I'm not sure how to label this. So why don't you talk about some of the different types of social engineering or forms of social engineering?
Yeah, I know what you mean about labeling these, because when I was throwing together the talking points, I had no idea what to call them.
Exactly.
So these are by no means terms that everyone should adopt as law or whatever. We're going to start off with kind of social engineering over the phone or in person. These both are types of attack generally used with impersonation of an employee or a customer or anyone that should have access to the information, whether it be a third-party repair technician or just somebody that comes in off the street. That's generally what's used there. The most commonly used form of social engineering is most likely the phone, as it's the easiest way to do it. You don't have to maybe get dressed up or go to the location of where this might be going on. You know, you just call somebody up and there you are. Whether it be the operator, I'm special, dial a number for me, or call up your local high school and say, this is telco employee, we need your PA number so we can access your PA, we've had a server crash or something, and get something there. And you know, if you're younger, like myself, that's an excellent way to do that because they don't have to see your face. You could possibly use a voice changer if you have a high, squeaky voice, like some of the 12-year-olds I know, or younger people, I should say. And so the phone is just an excellent way to do that. There's no, you don't have to really worry about body language that much. Much easier way to start off with, and it's an excellent way to start with. You can maybe start with some prank phone calls, which seems childish, but it really is the most efficient way to kind of learn how to use some of these techniques. And
well,
of course, along with this is in person.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. While we're still focusing on the phone part of it, I think everything you said is correct, and it's exactly what most people think of the phone, impersonating somebody to gain some information, which is all well and good. But not even necessarily only prank calls, like trying to be funny, but just calling anybody. And this is one of the things that I really liked and wished more people would have explored on Freak Factor, was just calling anywhere. And I know the joke about Walmart, everybody trying to get on the Walmart intercom was what all the show was. But you know what? Calling stores, calling other people, calling whatever. I mean, you don't have to call the bowling alley and ask if they have 10-pound balls. You can call and ask a lot of other things, like, you know, just any type of information. Even if it's not something you care about or want, the phone is a good place to practice. Call people up that, and you don't even, as a matter of fact, do it to yourself on purpose. Call somebody with no goal. Just make it up as you go along, impromptu, just adapt, just to kind of train yourself, get yourself that ability to think on your feet. Call them and just make up some topic off the cuff, ask if a certain person is there, And what does that tell you if they say, no, they're not there? Oh, they're not working today. Oh, now you know this person works for that company, so you've gotten a little bit of information. Oh, what time do your deliveries come? I need to know what time to drop this stuff off. Or, you know, just any... It doesn't have to be a prank call is what I'm trying to say. It doesn't have to be humor. Yeah. You can just call and practice social engineering with people. Call asking questions and just learn information, you know, just learn from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just throwing prank phone calls out there as a suggestion.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That's the way I kind of learned to do it, and it seemed to work well for me. So, yeah.
And then in person you were about to talk about.
Yes, I was, yes. So, in person is pretty much the same way. If you're younger like myself, it's not the easiest way. But you could say you're part of the junior city safety inspectors or something, and you know, you just come up with something. You come up with a story to make it plausible that you can be there, whether you're younger or whether you're older, like Stank, or just whatever would make it work. You come up with a story on the spot or prepared or however so that it fits that you should be there or that the information should be given to you or that they should even be talking to you.
Right. And you know, this is why it's probably easier on the phone than in person. Because you can disguise your voice easier. No one sees you physically what you're looking at. So in certain age brackets, certain age categories, you're going to be much more successful on the phone than you might be in person. It's going to be hard for you to come up with an excuse or a reason to say why you're trying to check yourself into an old folks home or something like that. Me, on the other hand, I might be able to get away with that. But Face Man, maybe not so much.
I'm very talented. I'm sure I could come up with a way.
Well, maybe you could come in and, you know, do a juggling and singing act to entertain us old folks in our rocking chairs. But, you know, there's ways to get in there. But point being, you know, if you come up and you're claiming that you're the telephone system repair person with 20 years of experience, but you're only, you know, 15, 17, 18 years old, people aren't going to really buy that as much. So it's going to be tougher for you. It's not impossible by any means, but it's going to be a lot harder for you. So in person is very tough. And also another thing about in person, and I'm going to mention this here instead of saving this for tips later because it fits, is you've got to play the part. You've got to be the part. And I don't know, just because I said it earlier, let's use that example. If you do claim, if you're going into a, and of course we're not condoning or saying you should do any of these are examples for educational purposes only, but if you were, let's steal a scene out of the movie Hackers when serial killer goes in to repair the phone lines in the office. If you are going in to do something like that, you know, look the part and dress the part. You know, I know it's kind of funny, the movie Hackers in general, but he's got his hard hat on. He's got his tool belt on. That kind of helps sell it. Now, that particular guy still would never get away with that, truthfully. Not with that weird hairdo and the way of talking and that kind of thing. But, you know, do that. Take those extra steps to be prepared and look the part and sound the part. If you're going in to try to sneak into a, I don't know, a convention filled with physicians and surgeons and stuff like that, you better go in and sound intelligent. You better go in and know some terminology. You can't go in and, oh my gosh, there's a gross picture of a liver on the wall and freak out. It's going to blow your cover. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to look, act, and speak the part. And those are all things that you really need when you're doing any kind of in-person social engineering.
Don't act surprised. Use big words.
If it calls for it. I have been in many cases...
Yeah,
where,
if it calls for it.
Yeah, in many cases where, believe it or not, you want to dumb yourself down. You don't want to sound intelligent. You want to come across very simplistic. Without getting too pervy, you know, if you were talking, you believe it or not, you might want information from a child or a young person. Now, don't get any weird pervy luring somebody in the car situation. I mean, you know, hey, what time does your mom get home from work? Or what company does your dad work for? If you wanted to find that out for some godforsaken reason, you know, you're going to have to speak down to whatever your target audience is. Boy, that I don't know that point. that whole children's analogy is really going to not sound very good on the air, is it? We're going to leave it in anyway.
Well, it's,
want some candy, little girl?
It's a viable means of getting information.
Correct, correct. That's the point. It's kind of hard to come up with examples off the cuff, but.
And on the child point, come down to the child's level.
Exactly.
You know, squat down, eye to eye.
You know, or you may be talking to someone who's not, doesn't have the same education that you do, or doesn't have the experience that you do, things like that. So, yeah, whatever the audience calls for. And that's true of writing, too, but that's a whole nother tangent. Always write for your audience. Always speak for your audience.
And you might also want to dumb yourself down to get something explained to you.
Yeah, and actually, I got a story here if you want. I mean,
yeah,
I used, well, yeah, I guess I can. I'll just say this is a generic technique or an idea is, you know, one of the things that I had problems with some hosting companies recently, who shall remain nameless, is that I will contact them, and I'm like to think I'm pretty technically competent, at least to a certain extent. And one thing that bothers me more than anything is people that lie to me. You know, I know what I'm talking about. So if I tell you that this is the problem that's happening, and it's most likely because of this, this, or this, I can narrow it down because I know what I'm talking about. I was in a situation with a recent hosting company who we no longer use, and so one of the reasons we left this hosting company is because a couple of times I opened up tickets and their responses were just didn't make technical sense to me. I'm like, that doesn't really sound right. So finally I decided to test them, and I basically reported something that I knew completely what caused the problem. I knew how it worked. I knew every detail about it, and I played dumb. I intentionally talked down, even though I could have, even though I knew what the situation was, and I knew I was talking to people that were supposedly technically competent. I kind of pulled the switcheroo on them and put them on the spot to see if they could actually speak up to my level. So telling them, here's what the problem is, do you think it might be this, and listening to them lie to me or try to talk, if you're going to play the part, kind of what we were saying earlier, know what you're talking about, know the buzzwords, but realize that in some cases, you're going to get called out because of it. Somebody out there always is going to know more than you. And if you, there's a phrase my father used to say to me when I was younger, he'd always say, you can't bullshit a bullshitter. So if somebody knows what they're talking about and you try to social engineer them, you're going to hang yourself out to dry, you're going to get totally caught, so you might get yourself into an awkward situation. I guess that's the moral of the story.
Well, along with the you can't bullshit a bullshitter, I kind of have a story that's not technically my own, but I'm going to take it as my own.
Okay, go for it. Nobody will know the
tell
difference.
Tell it from first person when it's really not.
Nobody knows the difference. Go for it.
Okay, so I went, my mother made these cookies, and I went in and got some. And, you know, it's in the cookie jar that you're not supposed to come into, and you know, stay out of these cookies, face man. So I get a cookie, and, you know, it's real good. I come back, and I get another cookie, but I want a glass of milk this time. Mm-hmm. So I get a cookie and a glass of milk. I come back the next night. Lo and behold, my sister's there getting a cookie, but she's got a glass of milk.
Mm.
So I call up to my sister, and I say, cookies are good, aren't they? She says, yes. That's your second one, isn't it? Yes. That is kind of a story.
So pulling some extra information out of there. Once they're caught, you can kind of manipulate that situation.
Yeah.
Now, you know, phone and in person are the two most, what I would say are the most successful and where you're going to get the most information and the most results. But there's other, again, forms, for lack of a better word, of social engineering or I guess medium. I can't come up with a term for this, but another way to social engineer people, another way to approach people, and that's via mail or email.
Which is commonly used for phishing.
Yep, actually that's pretty much the heart of phishing, isn't it? I actually didn't even think, that word didn't even pop into my head, but it's absolutely phishing. But it's not only for phishing. All the things we said earlier could apply just as well. If I were emailing, say, And again, this is what I mentioned earlier about in writing as well. Write to your audience. Speak to your audience. Write to whoever you intend to get information from. If I'm writing to a, for example, a chief security officer at a company, I've got to stay brief to the point. I'm not going to get into technical detail because it's probably going to confuse them. As opposed to writing an email to tech support where I might explain details about their server and give them an error message of the problem that I'm having and things like that. So, first of all, write towards your target. I think that's one technique to talk about in email. And probably more along the lines of phishing, which is what you were talking about earlier, and I think this is... Phishing is just using social engineering techniques for a nefarious purpose, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that's not... You can also write phishing emails, I guess, to try to get other information out of people.
Mm-hmm. But you can also phish through the phone or in person, so...
Well, and that's true, too. That's true, too. For an example of phishing or social engineering via email, like, I don't know, you find somebody on MySpace or something like that, and you want to get more information from them, you can email them and say, hey, didn't you go to this high school? I think I remember you from high school. We had an English class together. What high school did you go to again? And you basically set them up for a familiar situation that, oh, hey, maybe this is somebody I went to school with. Yes, I went to George Washington High School or whatever it happens to be. You fished information out of them via email. Again, by applying some techniques and stuff that I just... That's been pretty successful for me in the past, starting off with a false relationship. But we'll come back to that in some of the tips section. But you can fish for information that may or may not be... You don't always have to fish for credit cards or banking account or things like that. You can fish just for information. Now, that example, I don't know why I would care to know where they're going to high school or went to high school. Maybe I'm nut job stalker. Maybe I'm... trying to find
people. It would
develop
a level of trust.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, it may just be the first step in something bigger that I'm trying to get. Maybe I'm trying to become friends with this person, or friends of another friend of this person, and I'm just trying to step my way into the whole relationship. So there could be a lot of different reasons for it. I guess that will leave up to the listener. Whatever their reasons and motivations are, it's irrelevant, honestly. We're giving a lot of these explanations of why we would do things, but I think we should focus on the methods and techniques, because the why is going to be on a case-by-case basis.
Yes.
So no more little girl references. So where do you want to go from there? Do you want to talk about anything else for email? Do you want to talk about some others?
Well, with mail... Just kind of a tip on that is anything notarized, people tend to believe.
True, or printed on letterhead.
Yeah.
And even silly little things. And this, again, social engineering is sometimes about the little things. Printing something in color versus in black and white, believe it or not, makes a difference to people. People get something printed in black and white, it's so easy, so disposable. But if you print something in color, put a color logo at the top, letterhead at the top, it just looks and feels different to people. Now, there are different levels of that. You can make it look really good by notarizing it and things like that, but little
things. You want to stick to the level of what would fit with the letter you're writing.
Right. Exactly. There's actually an interesting... I don't know, this kind of popped in my mind. Sometimes I'll get spam, not email spam, but just junk mail. And one of the things that I see sometimes in there is it's total junk, wanting me to get a new credit card or wanting me to buy something or whatever. And when you open it, which I do sometimes because you can learn a lot from them, and one thing that I've noticed as a trend lately, and I don't know if you've seen this face, man, but or any of the listeners probably have, is... You open up the letter that's inside, and of course it's nothing but sales. Hey, you can get this great interest rate. But one thing I've noticed more common in the past year or two is a little post-it note stuck on there that's using, it's obviously not handwritten, but it's using a handwriting font to make it look like it was written by hand and posted on there to make it feel more personal. And that is a brilliant social engineering technique. It's a brilliant tactic. that when you open it and you unfold it and you see, oh, it's a form letter, they're trying to get me to take another freaking credit card, blah, blah, blah. But it's got this personalized note. Notice, this offer is specially for you because of your great credit rating. Respond immediately. And a post-it on top of there. Now, again, it's transparent to those of us with some intelligence. But sometimes that's the difference maker between people. They're like, wow, I can get this card because I have a good credit rating. Maybe I should go ahead and do it now while I've got the chance. That they definitely work. These companies do huge studies on what works with advertising. And there's so many social engineering techniques in advertising that it would blow your mind. So when you get junk mail, even phishing and spam, I know Savant and I a lot of times will trade phishing emails back and forth, do some analysis and some study on them, because some of them are doing interesting techniques and things that are a little bit different that make you think, oh, well, that's clever the way they did that. That's interesting. They approached it differently. They didn't come out and say, oh, congratulations, you have won the Nigerian lottery. Please send me your credit card information. They're not always that transparent. Some of them come across and they're very, very clever. It's not all, I mean, I win the lottery 3 or 4 times a day if my email was true. So they're not always that simple.
I've won the British lottery at least 5 times today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, you couldn't have won it 5 times because I've won it 5 times today. I guess we split it. Anyway, yeah. There's a lot of things. And even the physical snail mail is even more to the point. They spend a lot of money sending that stuff out. So they do studies and they know techniques that work. So you'll see a lot of things in there that you can actually kind of steal the idea. If you wanted to send something out and pretend it to be personal, try that little post-it idea. That's kind of a neat thing that a lot of people are going to fall for. It's going to make it a little bit different. The way you word things to people, what they put in bold is interesting. I've had a couple writing classes. I've taken a technical writing class and I've taken a business writing class. And they absolutely teach you techniques of how to write things and how to use proper use of white space, quote-unquote white space. The way you put things and lay things out on the paper, believe it or not, you're not going to put a bunch of narrative, or just a bunch of text over and over and over and over again because people get bored and throw it away immediately. But you throw a paragraph of information and then put some bold bullet points, bam, 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 kind of breaks things up and they get a summary, they get a bullet, and then you can put another paragraph of information, then a graphic with a seal of approval on the right-hand side. You have great credit. And then another paragraph explaining what the offer is. Kind of break that up and scatter it around the page in such a way as to make it visually appealing and try to get people to read past that first paragraph. So there are a lot of social engineering techniques that go into those.
As well as it just being mail itself seems almost more official than, well, it would seem more official than an email.
Oh, absolutely.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. There's one, I can't think of the company's name, but there's Internet Business Corporation, I don't know, it's some fake company I get snail mail from, that's basically a letter saying that your domains are expiring, you need to pay this much or you will have lost them, but we can recover them. It's obviously fake BS. Anybody who knows and has registered sites knows that's not the way the system works. Nobody's going to mail you and say your site's already lost, but we can recover it. No, it's not the way it works. However, because you get it in physical mail, it makes you go, wait a minute, did I miss an email? Did my spam filter catch something? Is this real? Oh my goodness, here's a check for $40. Save it for me. It's absolutely what Faceman says. It's absolutely different getting something in the mail versus through email.
Well, along the domain expiration, when I first got my domain, which will remain nameless, about a week after I got it.
Come on, we all know it's ilovethecock.com. You don't have to be embarrassed.
No.
You don't have to be embarrassed.
It's
you can
not
be
org.
Oh, okay. Sorry, .org, you got it.
You know, the first sex domain, .org.
.org. Or .org if you listen to Black Ratchet. Anyways, .org.
You know, this is my first real experiment with domains. I'd never done anything with them before, and I get this letter in the mail saying that I owed $80 to protect my domain, and they have the name of the company that I used to register it with, and
Well, they're the ones sold it to them, probably.
Yeah.
Especially if it was GoDaddy. Anyway. Fucking bastards.
Yeah, it wasn't GoDaddy.
Okay,
but,
I still hate them. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is my first time. It scared me to make me think that, hey, I have this $80 that I missed something here. You know, who's trying to cheat me out of my money? You know, these guys have credit card information from when to pay for hosting and the original registration of the domain. It's like, hey, are they going to just take this? Or?
Right, right. Well, and, you know, and the same thing, it's vice versa, too. Some things are better sent via email than snail mail. So if you get, you know, for example, believe it or not, I know we all laugh and joke at the lottery and stuff like that, but I don't know, if you got a pyramid scheme letter in the snail mail, it might be more transparent than it is in email, because they can phrase it in the email to make it sound like it's a new technology or something that's different. And you might fall for it a little bit easier than you would if it were snail mail. You'd be like, oh, wait a minute, this is that same old Amway crap or whatever from, you know, years and years and years, these old pyramid schemes. So, again, your choice of what you're trying to do is the best medium for it. And we probably ought to pick up a little bit and go through these. I think the only other thing worth mentioning was maybe text messages, or, I don't know, would you throw instant messages in here as well, or?
Well, I might throw in instant messages, but mainly text messaging, but mainly as another form of communication for something that you've already started. If you were to send an email to someone on MySpace, you know, get their cell phone number and start text messaging them, and just kind of to build on what you've done already. But it could be used as a social engineering of its own, so...
Right. Well, and you know, the way some text messaging is set up, you know, you can send a text message to somebody's phone directly by sending it to their phone number at Verizon Mail or what, Verizon Wireless dot whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And if somebody got a text message saying your bill is due, please send back your phone number, a lot of people won't pay attention or realize, because they're not used to such a thing. And I'm surprised there's really not a lot more of that type of phishing going on, to be honest with you. I'm sure it's happening, but I'm surprised we haven't heard some big, big news about something like that by now. Or if there has been, maybe I just haven't heard it myself. If anybody knows any good stories of that, I would love to hear them, because I'm surprised that's not something that's much, much more prominent, people getting phished via text messages on their phones.
Yeah, and when I put text messaging on here, I have never heard of anyone being social engineered through a text message or any type of phishing or anything through a text message, but I was thinking of the different forms of communication, because any form of communication can be used for social engineering.
Right, right. And, you know, sometimes it's once again, you want one small tidbit of information or something, like, I don't know, you may want to get back a... Oh, my gosh, trying to think of an example off the cuff here. You might email somebody blindly, not knowing who their name is. You might have, let's say you found a phone number, somebody posted in the forums or somebody on a website somewhere that they thought was interesting, or they thought it was somebody famous, or they thought it was, I don't know, any number of things. Sending a, you know, calling it, they might not answer it, you know, but if you were to send a text message to it saying, hey, is this Mary? Well, if it's, you know, make up an arbitrary name that's more than likely wrong because you're blindly guessing. But they may respond back going, no, this is Sue, or this is whatever. You have the wrong number or something like that. But you've gotten the response back. You've gotten some information you didn't have before. So, I mean, any type of medium that we've talked about, all these different things, and I'm sure there's some we've forgotten too. Instant messaging, once again. Lots of things. You can get a lot of information through any of these different forms. It's just a matter of sitting back and thinking, how could you, what can you use about these different mediums, these different points of attack or whatever. This is like a hard word to define these things, is what would be the best thing depending on what your goal is? Would it be better for you to dress up and show up at the store in person? Would it be better for you to send an email or a snail mail or text message or call, et cetera, et cetera? So whatever, it's kind of the right tool for the job, sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And I think we should probably burn through some of these techniques we've already talked about before, but we're kind of starting to run long because I just keep talking and can't shut up. So I'm going to try to speed up and talk about some of these techniques. And the first one is what we started off talking about at the top of the show talking about, and that is lying. And I, as much as we have to be honest and say that lying is certainly a technique in social engineering.
Yes, and most likely the most common technique.
Probably.
Because it's just so easy.
Yeah, and it is, and that's why so many people, you know, think that they're a great social engineer because they can call up and lie to somebody. And yeah, it's most prominent, and hell, I might even go so far as to say it's the most successful, you know, but it's certainly not the end-all and be-all, and even though it may have the highest success rate, it's still a small overall proportion to social engineering. It's definitely easier to lie on the phone than it is face-to-face in real life. Definitely tougher to do that because people can look into your eyes and you can feel. I like to think, I'm not going to say I'm an expert social engineer, but I like to think I'm pretty good at reading people. Body language and the way they look at me and the way they talk, averting your eyes. A lot of people have heard those old stories about you tell us someone's lying because they'll look away from you, they can't maintain eye contact, they will move their fingers or their hands, clench their fists, things like that. The giveaways, these poker tells, if you will, you know, and it's social engineering is certainly a part of poker as well, that will give you away. So lying is definitely something that is only going to work better in non-face-to-face situations, mail, phone, etc.
And if you watch enough of the cop shows on TV, they'll talk about the direction your eyes go when you look away tells, you know, like if you look down at the left, you're accessing memory. And if you look up and to the right or something, you're accessing your creative portion of your brain. And while the TV may not get that right all the time, that is true that you can look at the way your eye moves and see that type of stuff.
Yeah, there have been studies on that sort of thing. I'm not sure how much validity I put into those, but there's definitely some studies that have put into it to show some sort of patterns. But you know what? The thing about lying, though, is that I don't want to harp on it too much, but that becomes a moral dilemma. That becomes a moral issue at this point, too. Because, you know, one of the things that I try to teach, and I've got an article that I've written and haven't released yet, called Social Engineering While Maintaining Integrity. And it's basically about social engineering without lying. You don't have to lie. You can get a lot of great information by using a lot of these other techniques that are not necessarily lying. Now, I know Rax would give me a hard time with this and say that, yeah, but you might as well be lying. Or, yeah, but you're still manipulating someone. You're still alleging something differently. You're still avoiding something. But you're not. It's a little bit different to out-and-out lie. Maybe it's a technicality to not directly lie to somebody, but there's certainly something to be said for trying not to anyway. You don't necessarily have to sell your soul to be a social engineer.
Well, as Rax would put it, lying by omission. I don't necessarily agree that you do have to lie even by omission, that some of these different things can easily be used as social engineering, whether it be to get information or to just make a conversation easier.
Yeah, well, and you know, something can be said for, believe it or not, it's a social engineering technique to tell the truth. Sometimes telling the truth will get you the information you need. And it's up to you to determine the best approach. Do you need to tell the truth? Do you need to choose your words carefully and ask the right questions? Do you need to out and out lie? Do you need to read between the lines and not even directly ask anything? There's all kinds of different things that can come up that you don't have to out and out lie. And that's, to me, a really good social engineer who can get information without out-and-out lying. That's harder, and that's a little bit more impressive. To me, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
a perfect example was I social engineered my way onto Ben Rev Radio. You know, I didn't tell you. I have no idea what I'm talking about here, but I made it on, didn't I?
But as I said, I'm a good judge of character, and I can tell by the show notes that you sent me that you do know what you're talking about. So there. No. Not pulling that one on me. Well, and I think we kind of talked about this earlier, manipulation technique. that's kind of your word is that it was the basis of social engineering.
Mm-hmm. And it's not always used, but I think that it is used, whether you're lying or not, pretty much all the time. That there's few exceptions that you're not manipulating someone on some level.
Yeah, and I think that's most of the time is the goal. You're trying to manipulate the person to give you information in some way, shape, or form. If otherwise, I guess it just falls under the category of conversation. I mean, social engineering is about getting information. Sometimes it's getting information you didn't even know existed or didn't even know that you wanted, but it's about getting information or finding information in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, manipulation is pretty much a clear part of it, and again, kind of goes, you know, there's that gray area with morals and stuff, and probably the next thing that you wanted to talk about was impersonation, which that is, to me, a form of lying. You know, you're pretending to be somebody that you're not.
Most definitely.
So, I mean, that's fine, and it may be the only technique or the only way to get the information you want is to call and say, hey, I'm an AT&T field technician. I need you to do a lookup on, reverse lookup on this number or something. You know, I don't know. I'm whatever, making up something, but you may need to impersonate.
A technician who needs to place a test call.
There you go. That's what it is. Anything. I mean, it could be any number of things, but
yeah.
You know what I mean? Impersonating somebody, that's, again, kind of easy. I think you said it was the easiest.
Yeah, I said it was the easiest because, I mean, anybody can impersonate somebody, you know?
Yep.
It's just,
of course,
it's
you can,
really easy to do.
And using the techniques we talked about earlier of sounding the part, knowing the technology and the words and knowing the information, there are levels of how well you can do this and how good you are at impersonation, but generally it's pretty straightforward. And the next thing you have on here is I kind of just said a minute ago, and that's just
paying attention.
Yeah, paying attention. And again, and this is my favorite. I mean, this using subtle words and body language I kind of referred to earlier, these to me are those little things that can sometimes speak volumes about people. This is how I catch a lot of people in things and how I can tell what makes somebody uncomfortable, what somebody may or may not like talking about, the way they choose their words, like the example we have earlier of choosing one particular vocabulary word over another one, that tells you a lot about the person. So subtle words, the body language, just pay attention to everything. And see, in general, I would recommend that all hackers should do that as a survival skill. Always pay attention to what's going on around you. I know it sounds cliche and corny, but you should always be aware if there's any vans with tinted windows around you. You should always be aware of that. You should always know if you're in a coffee shop or an airport and you're using wireless, you should always be paying attention around you to see if somebody is sniffing your traffic or whose traffic you might be sniffing if you were doing such a thing. Not that we're condoning that.
Well, along with paying attention, subtle words, and body language goes looking at how someone dresses. You know, you might want to check out their shoes, what kind of socks they wear. Those are the big things that people generally miss when they go to try something like social engineering.
Well, and
or maybe how they carry their hands is another big thing.
Well, and it also says a lot about that person. If you see somebody who's dressed really well and wearing expensive clothes and alligator shoes and a Rolex and all that, you just already have a one-up right then and there. You've already got useful information that this person obviously has money. So you've already got one thing that you know is not going to be successful for you. There's no way you're going to manipulate this man or this woman, this conversation, by using money in any way, shape, or form. You're not going to bribe them. You're not going to make them worry about something costing too much. Hey, you have to do this now or it's going to cost you twice as much. They don't care. You don't. That's not, that technique will not work with someone like that. But for someone else, it may be the motivating factor. Oh, I can't afford to have this. Oh, is that your car out there? It might be being towed. I'll watch your things while you go check it. You know, I hate that. It's another bad example of something dangerous that can be done. But they may realize, oh my gosh, I can't afford to have my car towed. I got to go check it. And they're gone and they leave all their stuff there with you. Now, you know, that's a bad example. Especially, hell, they could be Al-Qaeda and have a bomb and set you up to be in a bad situation. So, point being, I think it was self-explanatory.
Yeah, that's a very bad example. Just, you know.
I think it worked. I think the point got across. A couple other things that I wanted to mention in here, too, is, and this is, again, this is something that it takes a lot of practice to do, but one thing that I do a lot is sometimes, and this usually only happens when you're in longer conversations. If you're in a short conversation, you're trying to get somebody to do something, it's usually you doing the talking, you call up, you're trying to get something done, and that's the end of it. They're either going to do it or not do it. A lot of times, pulling information out of people is a long-term conversation and or argument and or sometimes you're, again, and if it goes back to the practicing, I go and practice with people. Even though I'm not on the phone with somebody to get information, sometimes I will try to just for the heck of it, just for the challenge. Chat, if there's a girl on the other line, chat her up. See if you can get the digits, talk to her, whatever you got to do. That's all these kind of techniques when you're practicing. Well, one of the things that you should also throw into your repertoire, I have a wonderful French accent there, is the ability to dodge a question that's asked of you. You're asking questions to them all the time, but what are you going to do? You call and you say, oh, I'm a field technician, can you do pass me through to this call? They're going to come back to you and say, what is your field tech ID number? You've got to be able to, first of all, you should expect that question. You know, again, that's experience and practice. But you've got to be able to either answer that question if you know one, or you know the format and you can make one up or something like that. Or you need to be able to sidestep the question and change the subject somehow instead of just giving up and hanging up and counting it as a loss. Just because something's been thrown back at you, you haven't lost yet. Sidestep it and change the subject a little bit. Oh, well, I don't have that with me right now. Can you just go ahead and patch me anyway? It's probably not going to work, but just sidestep it and avoid answering it altogether. Or, oh, you know what? It's out in the truck right now. Can't you just look up my name, Smith? Just sidestep the question and throw it back at them. Make them do the work. Act like you're cooperating, but make them do the work. The worst case scenario is, yes, you have to hang up for one reason or another. If they really call you out to go, sir, I don't believe you're an agent, can you prove to me something? You can always get another call on the other line, an emergency happens, someone's, oh, I can't hear you anymore, operator, I'll call you back, something's wrong. You can always, worst case scenario, hang up and give up and lose. But don't give up right away. Challenge yourself and see if you can still get the information by working with that person.
And along with that, I would say, I would bring up the subject of follow-through, that once you get the information you need or you realize that you're not going to get it on that phone call, don't just hang up or say, you know, I have another call. Right when they ask this question, you have to kind of lead up to that so that it's not blatantly obvious. So, follow-through.
Probably also we can throw in here along the same section is to answer one question with another question. You don't always have to sidestep their question and redirect it with a different topic or something like that. Sometimes you need to answer their question with another question. Oh, I need your technician ID number. Which ID number do you need? I have four different ones. May or may not be true. Again, this is based on experience. Throw the question back at them. And sometimes you will just get them so off kilter or so confused that they won't really know how to respond. Well, which one? The one that... Okay, I'll just go ahead and patch you through now. You know, sometimes you'll just get them so off kilter that you will still succeed with what you're doing. Ask them another question as a follow-up or as a distraction or as though you don't understand the original question. Distract them and put them on the defensive and make them the one who has to take some sort of action. Push it back to them as much as possible. Now, we're really running short here, so... I think we can, let's talk about goals a little bit. What are some of the things that you want to accomplish, Faceman, why are we social engineering?
Well, you could be looking for specific information like a password or login or work hours or anything like that that's very specific information, or you could be looking for any information that you don't know what you're looking for, but you want a little bit of more information before you go and do something else, or you know, anything that might be able to help you guess someone's password or anything like that. You just want to maybe footprint a business by calling them up a couple of times and just chatting up, coming up with something on the spot. You don't know what you're looking for. And actually, I would suggest that as a way to kind of practice social engineering is just call up a business and start talking to them.
Yeah, or, you know, and actually you made a couple good points there. One, like, you may not know... Most places nowadays put up their standard password policies or things like that on, you can easily figure them out. But if you might not know that, you might call and pretend to be a user, even though you're really not. Say, yeah, I'm having problems logging in. I can't remember what my password is. Do you have a hint? I mean, what is the standard password? I don't remember if I put numbers in it or not. I don't remember if it was 10 characters or 12. You know, they may tell you, well, sir, our standard password has to be 10 characters, and it has to include at least one number. You know, you've got a little bit more information than you had before, so you're getting some information that you may then apply somehow for whatever reason. So that's definitely a good point.
AOL.
Yeah.
AOL.
Yeah, that one's not even challenging these days. If people still use AOL, I'm still amazed by that. I can't believe they're still in existence, but that's a whole other topic altogether.
Yeah, well, AOL is my pet peeve. Just
yeah, they've been, they were, yeah. We won't go there. Whole another topic, whole another show. All right, well then, you know, those goals being said, I think it's pretty clear. We've made it clear over the course of the show that it's always about getting some sort of information. One of the other things you mentioned that I wanted to follow up on too was you might be getting information that you can use later to get other information, to get more information. For example, you might call up a company or a radio station and say, I'm interested in doing some research or interviewing someone about your company or about your new product or doing a story. Who would I contact for that? What are your policies for visiting? What requirements do I need to be able to come onto your company's property? And they may say, oh, well, you have to be approved first. Or, oh, no, you can just show up and talk to the secretary. Or they'll tell you information that can be the second part of your, I don't know, your social engineering odyssey, if you will.
And with that, you don't even have to lie. What do you know about that?
Absolutely. See, so many of these things that just, you don't have to lie. That's your, always should be your last, next to last resort. Your last resort would be to hang up and run like hell, and or run like hell. But so
depends on your calling for that one.
I think we should. We've probably got about 10 minutes or less. So
okay.
Let's talk about a few tips here to kind of wrap it up. We've been using some examples and talking about some of these tips throughout the whole thing, but there are a couple tips here, and I think why don't you go ahead and start off with a couple here. That we alluded to earlier, but go into a little bit more detail.
Well, I would think that the absolute most important tip, depending on what you're doing, would be confidence. You know, you got to have that I belong here asshole appearance. You know, just kind of get out of my way, I'm in a hurry, or, you know,
well,
I belong here.
Yeah, especially in the in-person, face-to-face. I mean, you've got to look the part. You've got to feel like if you're going to go into the, you know, the what was the example I used earlier? Going into a doctor's convention with all kinds of medical, you better look like you belong. You better look like a confident doctor. You better be in there looking like, not looking like you're out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have that confidence. And that, and believe it or not, it's easy to give an in-person example, but believe it or not, people can hear it on the phone. People can hear when you're bullshitting on the phone. You can even tell sometimes in the tone of your email. So try to avoid things like, well, I think it might be this, or I heard it might be that, or maybe it's this. That's not confident. You know, be confident with whatever you say. Even if you are unfortunately lying, be confident in that lie, damn it.
And if you do get called out on it, you got to come up with a story for why you may have been wrong, or, oh, I misspoke, you know, I didn't mean to say that.
Right, don't
I
freak out.
This.
Don't panic. Never panic. Never panic.
The worst that could happen is they throw you in jail for a couple of years.
Right. Always, even when the situation does turn on you and you are busted, even then, don't panic completely. You know, if you feel like your cover is blown or you're not getting what you needed, make up some excuse to get yourself out of there in a tasteful manner without drawing attention. Your phone, oh, my phone is ringing, my page is going off, oh my gosh, I've got a meeting in 5 minutes I'm late for, I'll come back and we'll finish this conversation later, and excuse yourself. Try things like that first. Don't, you know, throw everything up in the air and go, run! You know, don't bust out the potato gun or anything like that unless you're really at your you're in a dangerous situation, obviously. You can usually get out of situations even if they've gone bad. Only when you want to try to get out of there before they call security or anything like that on you.
Or you could always say, well, there was a man around the corner. He paid me $50 to come do this.
Well, it's always an option. You never know.
Yep, whatever fits the situation.
And then just point at some guy randomly. That guy did it! Swarm! Swarm! And then run while they're not looking.
Yeah.
No, you're pretty much screwed if you're that deep, though.
Yeah. So, another thing, a tip to use is use the situation that may be going on. If you've seen, what's the one? The movie. They're going through, and they have a delivery guy.
Well, that only narrows it down.
Snickers.
Oh, okay. Like I said, that narrows it down to every porn movie ever made, a pizza delivery guy.
Yeah, well, it's Snickers, and they send in one guy first, and he's trying to get these pizzas up the stairs, and the security guy won't let him through. And then you get Martin Bishop coming through, and he has balloons and a cake, and he says, hey, buzz me through. You know, the security guy's worried about the delivery guy that doesn't have a work order. You know, so that's right. A created situation. You might want to use, you know, you're in a skyscraper, you decide to go roofing when you start to see security get mad at somebody. You know, if they leave their post, you walk by.
Well, and you know, also right in along with that is sometimes you can create that situation yourself. Like, you know, one of the most common ones, and people probably don't consciously realize or think to plan this ahead. It's usually impromptu, but oh my gosh, I've got to go to the bathroom. I'm about to shit myself or something. You know, they're not. You know, if you really sell yourself that you're about to shit all over their floor, they're going to let you come in and use the bathroom. And that's a simplistic example, but you know, it can be something like walk in with your fake blood on your hand, or real blood if you really got to get in that bad, and hold your hand. Oh my gosh, I got to get in. I think I hurt my finger. I broke my hand. Something like that. Create a situation where they're going to be in, put them in panic mode, the person in question. Put them in a situation where they have to make a split-second decision. Don't give them time to think things out and go, wait a minute, you don't have a pass. I can't let you in. No, if you walk up there and you've got your blood gushing out of your hand, real or fake, or you've got to go to the bathroom, or you're carrying a bunch of stuff and you're about to drop it, they're going to try to get you in and avoid the accident happening. So sometimes you can create the situation yourself. Sometimes
you naturally want to help other people.
Yeah, it's human nature most of the time. Human nature's gone downhill these days, but you can also create the situation by going in groups or numbers too. Go with a large number of people, and believe it or not, there is such a thing as brute force. You can all rush, and one or two of you might get through, depending on what your goal is. I've been to, and I might date myself here, but I've been to Grateful Dead concerts where halfway through the concert, every hippie in the parking lot just stormed the concert arena and started ripping slats off the fences until the cops knocked a few down and threw tear glass, but quite a few got up and got into the concert. It's a brute force attack. How is that? You never thought you'd hear a Grateful Dead concert story on Ben Rev Radio. Bizarre. But not only that, sometimes it doesn't have to be brute force. Sometimes you can just have four or five friends all approach within seconds or minutes of each other and get the guard or whoever so distracted that he's like, okay, what did you need? What did you need? Where were you at? And you might just be able to slip right on by without him even paying attention.
Yeah.
Too much on his plate. Couple other quick things. We're really running low on time. I'm glad we gave ourselves plenty of time to do this. All these topics. We're barely going to get through it. And again, I could stretch this out into 3-4 more episodes. But a couple quick things,
well,
if I may. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. One tip along with using a situation is, I believe it was Cheshire Catalyst at Hope 6 had said that a hard hat, a clipboard, and a tool belt will get you anywhere.
Just about. And again, confidence.
And confidence.
And throw that confidence in there. A couple other quick things, I'll jump through these really fast, is, and this is my favorite thing, is ambiguity. Such an important word to social engineering, and to me that is pivotal. That's what separates you and makes you really able to handle situations off the cuff a lot easier. Don't give anybody direct answers to anything. Never answer anything directly. Kind of what I said earlier, dodge the question, sidestep it, change the subject, answer their question with another question. Be vague, be ambiguous. Somebody asks you a direct question like, Are you really John Smith? It's a very straightforward question. You can lie and say, yes, of course I'm John Smith. I'm absolutely John Smith. You can sit there and lie to somebody, or you can be ambiguous, answer it in such a way that you don't, and again, this is, you know, I know Rax would probably say that this is still a lie, but answer it in such a way you choose your words to say something like, would I really be here if I wasn't John Smith? So you're inferring the answer, or rather you're letting them infer the answer. Who would come here and try to get into this room if they weren't John Smith? Does that make any sense? That's such a silly question. Make them feel silly or stupid about themselves. And you didn't answer the question, you didn't lie, you let them infer an answer. That's on them. If they're that weak-minded that they can't figure that out or that they're going to be manipulated like that, you've kind of thrown it over to them somewhat. So ambiguity is such a huge thing. I can never overemphasize that. Never answer anything directly. Be as vague as possible.
The more information that you throw out there that could possibly be wrong is more information that they might be able to call you out on.
Right. Or they may be able to come with more follow-up questions. Oh, you are? When were you born? Fuck if I know when he was born. You can get yourself trapped. So, here's kind of a funny thing that I wanted to point out, and that's simply the fact that you can annoy somebody to death. There's nothing wrong. It is an absolutely valid technique to just annoy people until they give up. I've called before, and let's see, how can I carefully say this? I've had a situation before where I tried to get information from somebody, and when they asked for the password, I did not know my password. I don't remember it. Is it in my email? Oh, can you email it to me now? Oh, I can't get into my email. Can you send it to my other email? Oh, I forgot that one's discounted. Oh, let me check this email. Can you send it again? Oh, it's probably in my spam folder. Let me check that. Oh, I'm sorry, what did you say you sent it to? Just annoy the hell out of them until they finally give up. Believe it or not, a lot of these times you're talking to people that are making minimum wage or close to it. They hate their jobs anyway. They're just not that picky. And they just want to get off the damn phone with you. But it's perfectly valid to have a technique where you want to annoy somebody until they give up. Just be stupid, complain a lot. You can even cross a line to threatening. I don't like doing that because it's, I don't know, maybe it's a moral thing, maybe it's a personality thing. I don't like being mean to people if I can help it. But sometimes you might have to raise your voice and be abusive and threaten to take your business elsewhere, threaten to cancel your account. I've never paid a late fee on a credit card in my life. Because as soon as you elevate and threaten to take your business somewhere else and take your card, of course you have to have a little bit of something to back that threat up too, then they're willing to do whatever it takes to not cross that line and not lose a customer. So you can threaten people, complain, be annoying, whatever the scene calls for and whatever's appropriate for what you're trying to accomplish.
Quoting laws help too.
And that's the other thing, is a lot of people don't know them, so that's where you really can fake a lot of stuff and people would never know the difference.
Yep.
Or be vague. Try to relate to your target. A lot of times, and this is surprisingly effective, you don't know how many times I have gotten information from companies by pretending to have some relationship with the person. I call up and I hear that the person on the other line has a southern accent. Well, he's a fellow good old boy. He's another redneck. I can kind of talk to him in a such a way as to make him feel more comfortable with me, make him feel. And over the course, it doesn't take long, a few minutes. You're going to be on the phone a few minutes with most calls. By the time you get to a certain stage, you can joke with him, you can laugh with him, you make him feel like you've been best friends for years. And then when you're like, yo, man, how about you hook me up with this? So same thing, whether it's a southern thing, it can be that you're both from New York. Hell, you can even make it up. Even if they don't have an accent, ask them. People always like to be asked. You know, you have a little bit of an accent. I can't quite tell where that comes from. Where are you from? Oh, you're from Boston. Really? I grew up there too. I went to college there. Oh my gosh, small world. Make a connection with people. Relate to your target somehow.
And along with relating to the target, I've never had that fail.
Yeah, it always works if you do it right. And along with that too, and I'm going really fast here, is to stroke the ego. Tell them how great and helpful they are too. That's another thing is, when they're doing stuff for you, go, oh, thank you so much. You don't know what a lifesaver you've been. I never would have been able to log into this. I couldn't remember my password. I don't have my email with me. If you give me that number, you would be the best thing in the world. I would appreciate it so much. I will write an email to your boss and tell them how great you are. People like to have their ego stroked and told how great they are. And in a certain way, bribe them by telling them you're going to send email or you're going to follow up. And you know what? Sometimes you might want to be sincere about that if they really do help you. So we're really low on time, so I'm going to wrap it up right there, I guess. I think the moral of the whole story, and I guess moral is a good choice of words, is everybody has different morals and what they're willing to do and not willing to do and lines that they are and are not willing to cross. I mean, do you have a good closing sentence or something to sum the whole thing up?
I did, but I forgot it. Crap. So, no, I don't.
Okay, then. Well, I guess we will close up the main topic and do our closing points here. Let's see, what do we have? Reminder to everybody, the BidRev meetings are this Friday, except for the BR-407. We will not have our Orlando BR-407 meeting because I will be out of town, out of the state, out of the country. So I will be completely unreachable, and coincidentally so are all of our other regulars. They all happen to be out of town the same time, so we will not have a BR-407. But everyone else, your BenRev meetings are this Friday. Shouts from me. I'll just give shout-outs to the Agents of the Revolution, everybody in the forums. I would love for this group to grow, for people to participate more. So by all means, we're keeping an eye out for people like that, and we'd like to see everybody get into this group and everybody to kind of step up the game a little bit. And what do you got for shouts?
I want to give shouts to Enigma, Zal91, Drake Anubis, Black Ratchet, and everybody in Pound BidRev.
Very cool. And you know what? I got to take a second here, too, because of not doing the show, I've kind of fallen really far behind here, but I haven't officially announced that Enigma is actually an official DDP member now and has been for probably a month or two, and I haven't had time to do a show, let alone get him on. We've been actually trying to do a show together, and we were kept putting it off, but I should definitely officially announce it and welcome him to the DDP officially. He's working on several projects for us, and he's a great guy, so totally second those shouts. And everybody, the guys that did the show last week, definitely give shouts out to all of them. And let's see, hosting for Binary Revolution Radio is provided by Caro.net, Caro.net, Carolina.net. Carolina Networks, I should say. If you need dedicated hosting, they have been very good to us so far. Our site of the week this week is savenetradio.org. Go check it out. What was it you said earlier, Internet Radio?
It has 62 days left or something.
62 days or something, 28, I don't remember what it was, days to live. So check out savenetradio.org and see what you can do to help. Email us feedback of any kind, good, bad, ugly, flames, or pictures of Face Man naked. Oh, okay, wait a minute, we can't do that one because I get in trouble.
I'm a minor.
radio@benrev.com. And our closing music this week is from the Mr. Move. This guy rocks so hard. This song is called Ass Shaken. So I don't think I've used this on the show before, but guys, go buy this album, themrmove.com. That's themrmove.com. Go buy his album, Easy. I just got it, been listening to it in the car, been pumping it. It is awesome. So that is it. I guess I got to think about this. We will see everybody sometime in the future, maybe or maybe not next week, but it will be same hack time.
Same hack channel.
I just want to let you know you got a real steady dumper.
Hold up, wait up, stop for a minute. I doubt if I'm behind, don't mind being in it. I send it in a minute, I'm going straight to hell. For looking at your bucket that you feel so well. You're working in a good way, shaking like you should weigh. So many things I couldn't say, but.